Every Sunday we pray for children and pray for students. We pray that they will be very obedient to their parents. But let me ask you parents personally, if you would remember the time, parents, do you remember the time when your own parents disciplined you? Do you remember the time when your own parents rebuked you? How did you respond when your parents rebuked you? How did you respond when your parents disciplined you? Now that you are parents yourselves, do you try to become parents better than your own parents? Do you have that desire? I would like to become better parents than my parents. Something like that. I say, my father, if I would look at my life, my father must be very good. My parents must be very good, though they are not as educated as we are. I became a pastor, meaning, actually, to some of you who don't know, I have a sister who is also a nun, Roman Catholic nun. And so if you would accept that nuns are serving the Lord, then she is serving the Lord, as I am serving the Lord. If I die and nobody among my children come to full-time ministry, I would say that my parents have become better parents than me. I don't know. But it is God who calls anybody. It's not the parents who call children to ministry, right? Now, parents, do you repeat the same rebuke phrase that your parents used to rebuke you? Can you recall if there are words that are coming out of your mouth when you are disciplining your children? And remember, those are the same phrase that your parents, your mother, your father had said to you. Compare yourself to your own children now. Do you remember when your parents call you? Did you come quickly? When, for example, say, "Lorenzo, come!" And I would come quickly because I'm scared to be whipped or anything, to be hurt. Who respond faster? Do you respond faster to your parents, or your children? Do your children respond to your call quicker than you? As parents, how do your children respond to you when you call them to eat? Children, come eat. Do they come quickly? In our time, we need to come quickly or else wala kang maiwan, walang ulam. You've got no food. This is dami namin. Kahit kukunti ang pagkain, walang maiwan pag mahuhuli ka. We are so quick to respond when it's time to eat. Well, for children these days, it depends upon the call. Children may quickly respond if they find it favorable to them. But if it's not favorable, they may grumble. When lazy children complain or grumble, Ilocano parents may rebuke with the phrase, this is for Ilocano and Ilocano, "Numangan alisto, no trabaho reklamo." It is translated, the term, the Ilocano word "no" is literally Ilocano conjunction for if or when, which requires condition or stipulation. And mangan, and many of you may understand that, is Ilocano invitation to eat or have meal or in dinner. And alisto, it's actually Spanish, it just means which means quick or fast or haste. And trabajo, you know that. It's also translated in Tagalog, the same word, work or labor. And reclamo, you know that too. It's complain or grumble. So when they say, no mga nalisto, no trabajo reclamo in English, it says, if meal, if it's meal, if I call for meal, if I call for dinner, you are so haste, you are so quick. But if it's work, if it's chores, you grumble, you complain. It's called for dinner, they are quick to respond. It's called for work or chores or call for help to, in household chores, they grumble and they complain. Do you see that in your children? Or did you do that in your time, parents? Did you? I did. I was quick when they called me for dinner, and when they called me to help to wash dishes, I grumbled. Ako na naman, ako na lang lagi. Siya naman. Yeah. Did you do that? Shall I do this? Shall I do that? What can I get? Those are the things. I know somebody that every time they would call their children, they would give something to the children. And I don't know if that was very, very useful or very helpful. Well, our response to particular activities is our expression of our desire. And instinctively, we know what we want to do, and we won't ponder much. If we know what we want to do, if we desire doing what we desire, we do not think much of doing it. We don't spend time deliberating on those activities we gladly do, right? We just don't think, oh, should I cook food for myself? Or what shall I cook for food for myself? There's this lesser pressure or none of it when we are enthusiastic doing particular activities. When we like to do what we are doing, like playing or gardening, baking, cooking, driving, fishing, whatever, painting, singing, we just do it spontaneously. Doesn't require any motivation. It doesn't require much to exert effort on ventures we enjoy doing regularly, especially when those activities benefits us, when it's favorable to us. Reflect on this. When we pray, do you think it's favorable? It is. Prayer is beneficial to us, yet we don't instinctively pray. Why? Have you ever contemplated, tried to ponder upon your motivation why you pray? Did you ask yourself, why should I pray? Have you reflected upon your prayer items? Why am I praying for this? Do you ask yourself, does God wants me to pray for this? Why does God grant anything we ask Him? Why does He not grant anything we ask Him? Motivation is a huge factor. When God granted our prayer request, it's because He sees it as beneficial to us. We should be mindful when praying, because praying is a spiritual practice of faith. On spiritual matters and activities, even praying, we should ask Christ to help us. Lord, help me how to pray. Do you pray like that? Pray. Help me how to pray. Give me words when I pray. How do I pray? Lord, help me. I was thinking, why do seminaries not give a course on praying? Because praying is communication to God. When you communicate to your friend, when you communicate to your parents, to your siblings, to your classmates, to your office mate, When you communicate to God, the Lord knows it, but others don't know what's in your heart. You may be smiling, but deep in your heart, you would be crying. The Lord sees it. The Lord knows your motives. The Lord knows when we pray. If we come to God in prayer on our own initiative or our own effort, we could be frustrated when our prayer request is not granted. Pertaining to our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ had declared in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, let's read together, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." If God knows what we need, even before we ask Him, why do we need to pray? We pray not because we want to inform God of our needs. No, He already knows what we need. He doesn't need to be informed of what we need. In prayers, we express our faith and trust in the Lord. Prayer is a spiritual practice of faith. If it is a spiritual practice of faith, then the more we pray, the more we grow in faith. As we pray, our hope, our confidence in the Lord, that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord may strengthen us, our confidence will grow stronger. It may be strengthened. Our confidence grows stronger. But are you familiar exactly how God responds to your prayers? When you pray, do you know exactly how God responds to you? We need to seek guidance from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need, Lord, help me pray. Give me godly wisdom. Give me godly understanding. We pray for items that God may grant. Lord, help me pray for prayer items that you have already prepared for me. Aren't you frustrated when you ask something and you know that God won't give it to you, and still you keep on praying? Like, for example, young people, children, students may pray, Lord, I want to graduate in this career. I want to graduate in this degree. Please, 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 Lord. But the Lord did not want you to graduate in that degree. But you keep on insisting. Praise God. That's blessing. Nabupuno yung mga drum. When Jesus Christ guides us, He advises us. He counsels us what to do, what to say, what we think. Our worldly desires are not automatically pleasant to God. Instinctively, we desire worldly matters. Instinctively, we desire worldly concept. Our inclination, the inclination of our heart, is worldly material. Naturally, our passion favors worldly concerns. Let's read again verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you? Now, before that verse, if you would go back and read in your time, in James chapter 3, preceding to this verse, the previous passage before this verse, it teaches purity of godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Godly wisdom with peace, consideration, wisdom that produce submission, wisdom that produce mercy, good fruit, impartiality, honesty, and sincerity. That's godly wisdom. So if you have time, you can go and read again James chapter 3. With pure godly wisdom, we avoid dispute. We avoid strife. We avoid conflict. That's godly wisdom at work, functioning in us. pure godly wisdom is actively functional when Christ is in control of our life, over us. His Holy Spirit inspires us to promote peace instead of conflict, to be considerate, to be honest, to be sincere. That's the Lord working in our life. Many times you may have observed people in argument or discussion. You know, when the godly wisdom is at work, when the purpose of that discussion, communication, is peace and not conflict. In comparison, when the sinful self in us, our human nature, when it prevails in us, we have worldly concerns. Worldly concerns also prevails in us. We venture on anything favorable that matches worldly passion. Selfish desires can be worldly. We pray that Christ be active as Lord over our life. Pray, Lord, guide me. Lord, counsel me. If possible, every moment, like the song we sang, every moment I'm awake, every moment we are awake, if we can pray, Lord, let your Holy Spirit prevail on me. It's favorable, actually. Your life is better, just like the song says. You like it better. Why you like it to have peace? You like to have that joy. Instead of grumbling in your heart, and the Holy Spirit, when He is at work in us, He produces love, He produces joy, there's peace, even in this time of uncertainty, in this time of pandemic and war happening somewhere, or confusion somewhere. We pray that Christ be active as Lord over our life, that so that He would guide us, He would counsel us, our mind, our heart, our soul, and strength. And when He is active in us, we disregard, we ignore worldly attitudes and the likes. Ponder on this. What are naturally attractive to the self? What is natural to you, to the human sinful nature? What do you desire instinctively? What do we desire as human sinful people? It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Let's read this together. The act of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This worldly mortal flesh cannot enter heaven. This dust that comes from this flesh that comes from dust return to dust when we die. The term flesh, it pertains to our physical body. The natural, worldly, mortal self. Can you discern self-interest? We don't need to deny self-interest. Can you discern when a person is talking something of his self-interest or her self-interest, selfish ambition? Can you discern that? For us, we don't deny, but we do not need to boast, to brag about it. That's biblical. It is common for everybody to favor anything beneficial to self. I want delicious food because I like eating delicious food. I like seafood. I like eating seafood. Do you like seafood? Me, I like seafood. When I see food, I eat food. See? Each one may strive for betterment. We want that. But the intensity of pushing ourselves for excellence, that varies. Not everyone has the same intensity in pushing themselves to excel. Anybody can be more competitive than others, and you would be, for you who are basketball fanatics, you might be watching the competition tonight between Miami and Celtics. Yeah. I'm green. But that means that I am for those, I'm for Raptors. Pero wala na kasi, kaya manonood na lang ako. But I don't have anything favoring. Anyway, anybody can be competitive. Competition is stimulated by several factors that may include envy. I want to be the MVP like him. There's jealousy. I want to be. There's hatred. I don't like. Discord. Dissension. Faction. Selfish interest and the likes. This competitive attitude is not new. It could have played a major part, major role in the very first murder case among siblings in human history. When was that? It's in the Bible, right? It's biblical, between Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were the first siblings recorded in history of mankind, yet Cain killed his brother Abel. Why? What may trigger him to commit murder? Theologians suggest that it's sinful nature of humanity that caused Cain's cruelty. Well, how did sin influence Cain's anger? It was not explicitly expounded in the narratives. But let's try to explore what has been narrated in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. Let's read this together. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, in his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now, if you go back to verse 3, that phrase, some of the fruit of the soil, some of the fruit of the soil, implies that Cain was not offering the best fruit. It did not mention best fruit, but some fruits. And it did not also mention if Cain picked those fruit from his own orchard, or his own plants. It did not say. It says fruit of the land. So, in comparison, the phrase in verse 4, if you go back there, it says fat portion from the firstborn, meaning best of the best. When it says fat portions, it's the best. In firstborn, it's the firstborn, unblemished yet. So the best of the best, where did Abel get those best of the best offering? It explicitly mentioned his, the pronoun his, pertains to Abel. So it was so explicit that the best of the best offering that Abel had offered to the Lord has come from his own labor, his own flock. It's specified. And in comparison to Cain, it was not specified. Anyway, we may interpret that Cain brought some fruit from the soil as offering that he considered, oh, pwede na ito. Have you had that phrase before? Pwede na yan. That's good enough. Have you used that phrase before. That was what Cain did. He thought, this is good, this is good enough, this is good for the Lord enough. Now think about that, ponder upon that. The Lord may have glanced it, because he may have glanced it, but he was not pleased with it. He did not favor it. Then here comes Abel and brought the best of the best offering from his own flock. And the Lord favored it, it says there. And God favored Abel and the Lord looked with favor. He favored, meaning he was so pleased. He was so pleased with Abel. He looked at the heart of Abel. He gave his best, the most beautiful offering. And so Cain was very angry that his offering did not please the Lord. Why? Did he think if Abel didn't offer anything, the Lord had no choice but to accept offering? Did he think about that? Ikaw kasi, Abel, kung hindi ka nag-offer, walang nang pagpipilian ng Panginoon, kundi ang aking offering lang. Ikaw, nag-offer ka pa kasi. Nah. Don't worry about that, Gren. First are not always the best. Being alone is not always the best. Originally, Cain initiated the idea of offering. He was the first to present an offering. Yet God didn't even give him any consolation prize. These days we have first prize, second prize, third prize, but for God, he chose the best. If it is the best, there's no second prize, there's no third prize. Everything will be first prize if you did your best. Cain was the first son. He may have been favored by his parents because he was the first son. And it's not easy for him to accept that his younger brother, Abel, brought the best offering. That was very tough, right? Many first children feel bad when the second child is favored. Did you feel that? Kung hindi ka pinanganak, ako lang magiging anak ng nanay at tatay ko. It was not told if they agreed to bring their offering to the Lord, though. But reflect on this. What had motivated Abel so that he brought the best offering to the Lord? Did Abel try to impress the Lord and get favor? That was not clearly mentioned. Surely, God doesn't need offering to become God. He doesn't need our offering. Do you hear that? He doesn't need our tithe for him to become God. He is God. He is powerful. If he needs anything, he can create it. God is eternally sufficient, but he appreciates our best offering. He appreciates when we offer. He wants to bless us all the more. Offering, this is our practical expression of our gratitude, of our thankfulness to God. Yes, we trust God is gracious. Amen. When Abel offered his best offering to the Lord, Cain may have interpreted it as, that's competition. You're trying to outdo what I did. But the Lord was very pleased with Abel, that Abel had exerted his best effort. Abel thought, you are God. I will give you my best. You created me. I will give you my best. And that should be our attitude. Similarly, others may not appreciate it if you can passionately do better than others. If you are doing well in school, you are doing well at work, anywhere, others may not appreciate it. However, if the Lord is active in your life, if the Holy Spirit is active in your life, you will certainly excel. No matter what others may think or say, you would excel. And you have that peace in your heart, even if they do not appreciate what you did. At work, even if your supervisor is not favorable to you, or if it is not pleasant to you, if you did your best, and still you are laid off, praise God. Why? The Lord knows your heart. He may have already prepared a better job for you. Do your best. Do your best. If they lay you off, God has prepared better for you. I know somebody. He was hated because he was telling the truth. And they let him go. But the Lord is, he is praising God because the Lord led him to a better situation for him and his family. So pray that God would let you excel in every activity. May it be household chores, may it be in the community, may it be in school or at work. Lord, give me godly wisdom. Let me excel in everything I do, even in your driving, even in your fishing, even if you do not catch much fish, but you did what is best, you enjoy. Even when you plant, do your best. Even when it's raining, masira yung mga tanim nyo. May mga nag-aalala na siguro dyan na sira yung tanim dahil sa ulan. I don't know. Rain should let the plants grow, right? Let's read again verse 2. You desire but you do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, desire, passion, self-interest could be great motivating factor to excel, to do our best, to attain and achieve something better, favorable, beneficial to us, especially when the Lord inspired us. Of course, we want something special. We want something wonderful for our benefits, right? Who do not? If selfishness motivates us, human selfishness, we have that covetousness, we are envious of others, and that may ignite quarrel. You're envious because your coworker was given higher increase. Ikaw, 50 cents lang siya, 55. Mas mataas ng 5 cents, for example. It ignites, it attracts dispute and argument. And disagreement among Christians is reality because of personal preference. You have preference. I have my preference. If you look at yourselves now, we do not wear the same clothes because of your preference. Have you heard of church split? Because of different preference in style, in design, in arrangement of the curtain. Ni ganitong gusto ko ng kortina natin. No, ayoko niya. Or carpet. Or building structure. Building structure. Or even signage. Or even chair. Bakit green ang ating upuan? Dapat pink, dapat red, dapat blue, dapat black, dapat gray, dapat white. Bakit green? Because isa lang ang choice. Isang choice lang. Green. Dahil mahilig si pastor ng green. Yan. Ako may kasalanan yan, actually. Don't blame anybody. Blame me. I told Ernie, choose green. This one. And Ernie ordered. So when somebody asks, why green? Because pastor loves green. He likes wearing green. Hindi green-minded. If disputes in the church impedes and it delays spiritual growth, that's undesirable. It's not great. But if about if it is about church doctrines, if about church belief, if those are the topics of arguments and disputes, then it should not be taken for granted. Biblical doctrine should unite our church. Now let's learn from Abram and Lot. After they became rich in livestock, they separated, Abram and his nephew Lot. Why? Because their servants, they quarreled. They quarreled about pasture land. Dito kami. No. Abram suggested, okay, Lot, I don't want us to quarrel, so let's split. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. So Lot look around and see a green pasture, beautiful green pasture in the Jordan. And that's beautiful. That's prosperous city. Next to Sodom, it's beautiful pasture. So he went there. And he might have thought, I can sell my flock to the Sodomites with higher price than to the Canaanites. It might have been about business, the reason why he chose that. In comparison, Abraham remained in the land of Canaan. Why? It says in Genesis chapter 2:13, verse 14 and 17, Genesis 13, 14, 17. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land where I am giving you. Now, this is something that we need to learn from. Lot chose the pasture land next to the prosperous city of Sodom. Why? Possibly he anticipated better business opportunity for his livestock, which was favorable to him, and he was thinking he would grow much wealthier than his uncle Abram. In the previous verse, in the same chapter of Genesis 13, it says, verse 10, let Lot look around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the land. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed yet, but it had already mentioned. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was already mentioned in this as early as this. Even before it happened, why was that? Why was it? It was a lesson of warning to believers, for us believers, to not totally depend upon human instinct. Human instinct can mislead, just like Lot. Lot became prosperous when he was still in the household of Abram. He became prosperous. But when he followed his human instinct, he lost everything that he had accumulated, including his wife. If you go and read through, you will find that out. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and Lot and his family barely escaped with nothing, almost with nothing. From wealthy to nothing. What can we learn from this? We can learn from Abram. Actually, Abram suggested that Lot would choose first where he wanted to go. Why was that? Why did Abram not say, okay, I am the older person, I should choose first. I am your uncle, Lot. I am your uncle. Okay, I choose. Wherever I go, don't follow me. Just stay where I will not go. But it did not say that way. It was Abraham who suggested to Lot, Lot, go ahead, choose where you want to go. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. If you go to the east, I will go to the south. Just choose. Why was that? It implies that instinct, the human desire to become wealthy cannot pressure, cannot control Abraham. Abraham didn't mind. He wanted Lot to choose whatever he wanted. If he chose something good for him, good for you. Something like that. The Lord promised the land of Canaan as inheritance to Abraham's descendants. And very clearly, Abraham heard God's promise, so he waited. He waited. He did not say, I sit here, Lord, di cuatro. I will wait for you. No, he did what is good in his sight, but he waited for circumstances to unfold. Whatever happens, I will do the best. He ignored his selfish interest to become richer. That was his practice of faith in the Lord. He trusted that God would decide for him, even in that decision of Lot going to next to Sodom and Gomorrah. So how do you appreciate, how do you practice faith? How do you practice your faith? When we have desire for greater opportunity like Lot. Lot wanted to become wealthier, and we want that too. How could we desire similar to that? Does God want you to be prosperous? Surely, he wants you to have better life. Does God want you to have better job? That's sure, for sure. He would like that if it would benefit you. But pray for stronger faith. Lord, give me stronger faith. Give me godly wisdom. Give me understanding. Why would you pray for wisdom and understanding? So that you may make firm decision and not doubt and not hesitate when you decide. Make firm decision that will fit within the will of God for you. If this is the will of God, and you what you pray for, you decide firmly within that will of God, you will be blessed. But if you decide and you hesitate, will I go there, will I go here? You hesitate, you cannot decide. You need godly wisdom. And when we grow stronger in our faith, in our confidence, grow stronger, we believe that whatever we do, every step we make would be beneficial to us. Pray for increase of faith. This is something I would like to share. The Lord gave wisdom, understanding. You pray, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding so that my decision will fit within your will for me. Somebody asked me, have you ever had made a decision that you regret in your life? That is one thing that I like to reflect upon. I did many seemingly mistake in the past, and somebody also told me that person cannot decide on one thing. He doesn't want to stay in one place. Was working in the Bureau of Land and was doing well, and then I quit. I was studying in one of the prestigious institutions in the Philippines, and then I quit. But each time I reflect upon those decisions when I quit, I learned that all those things I learned from those work, they are very useful in my life right now. When the Lord allows you to quit with peace in your heart, or do something else, we have peace in your heart. Even if people would say, hey, you made a very bad decision, but if you have that peace when you decide, it was God at work in you, making you that firm decision that whatever you do, you may not understand everything you do, but it fits within the will of God. I made many decisions that others say, sayang. For the sake of Glenn, sayang is what a waste, something like that. That's the word for us Filipinos. It cannot be translated with one word. The word sayang, how do you translate in English just one word? The nearest is what a waste, what a waste. Wasted, something like that. It's wasted. But everything that others say that I wasted, they fit exactly within the will of God for me. Practically, if we sense that peace in our hearts, in our mind, if we have that peace in our heart, and we don't have doubts, and we have no hesitation, that assures us, it's the Lord who assured us that He is pleased with our activities, with our decisions, with our lifestyle, even if others don't agree. So if you are listening to others, be sure that the person you are listening to is a godly person. If it's not, then pray about it. Well, our natural tendency is to seek pleasure, right? We want pleasure. Yes, of course. We want to enjoy life, of course. We want enjoyment of life, pleasure in this world. Those are just partial taste of eternal pleasure that we will experience in heaven for all eternity. Just look to that. But why did the Lord did not write in this, allowed it to be written in the scripture? The only phrase that you would see in the scripture how wonderful heaven is that people in heaven singing holy, 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 holy for all eternity. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Worshiping the Lord for all eternity. Why is that? If you are praising something, there must be something wonderful, right? You don't say something, oh, you are so handsome. Nothing else. You do not praise somebody without anything. You cannot say, you are handsome. And yet you cannot see somebody there who is handsome. That's not possible. So when people, when angels and believers in heaven are praising God forever with holy, 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 it's not because they are not doing anything there. They are doing something wonderful that it gives them that desire to praise God forever. So it is biblical to pray, but is it biblically proper for us to pray for pleasure? Is it? When we pray for pleasure, is it biblical? Let's read verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get in your pleasure. This is one thing that you heard from me before. Well, I'm not praying for it, but I would like to have a fishing boat. I like to go fishing. I love fishing. Oh, if I do that, the Lord would not give it. Why? I will be there now, even it's raining. I will be there and not here in the sanctuary if I have fishing boat. So I don't know if God would allow that, but I'm not expecting that the Lord would give me fishing boat. The term pleasure may imply satisfaction of physical sense or sensual pleasure. We pray for better life, better salary, better workplace, more finances. Why? We want to enjoy life. If we want much money, we want to spend them to enjoy life. We want to taste the lifestyle of our favorite celebrities, the popular, the famous, the powerful figures that appears to have enjoyable life experiences when they flaunt, when they parade, when they showcase them some luxurious way of living. I like how they are living. This is why one family is very popular in that area, because they are flaunting, they are displaying, showcasing what life should be. And we salivate. We are envious. Our envious self want to experience such luxury, such leisure, such pleasure. Our inner self we long for pleasure. And there's sensual pleasure and delight when we are passionate in what we do, activities we do. Truly, we are delighted by pleasure. We want contentment. We desire passionately. So we pray for better life. But how can we have right motives when we pray? Because it says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. How do we pray with right motives? The Lord grants anything we ask if it is beneficial, if it is favorable to us spiritually, to mature, to grow mature. If we pray just to satisfy our sensual desires, our passion, it's clear He would deny it. Make sure that what you pray is for your spiritual maturity. When parents pray for better future for their children, that's very admirable. Lord, I want my children to be successful in their career. Lord, I pray for my children, give them wisdom that they may excel in their chosen career. Lord, I pray for my children that they may choose the career path that you have prepared for them to excel. That's very admirable. Pray for your children, something like that, parents. And you would not blame yourself or anything if your children would fail, because what you prayed for is for their best. Yet the Lord let children follow their passion, and that may oppose their parents' prayer. The Lord knows very well that King David was a man of God's own heart. King David was great, the greatest king of Israel, because the Lord blessed him. And yet when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he had a child, the child got sick. What David did, he fasted, he prayed for 7 days for the life of his child, but God ignored him. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 19 to 23, it says, David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he's dead. Then David got up from the ground after he washed, put on lotion, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food and ate. He ate. His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go fasting? Can I bring him back again? Will I go to him? But he will not return to me. Parents, and for you young people who are hoping to become parents, listen carefully. While your children are still alive, while your children are still with you, pray, if it would possible, pray every day for their best, for their betterment, that God would fill them with godly wisdom and understanding, that they may sense the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that whatever they may choose, if it is not within your desire, if they may oppose what you desire, you would not regret. Whatever they choose, whatever happened to them, you will praise God. It was very tough, of course, for King David that his child died. He did what he think best. He prayed, he fasted, he wept, But the Lord did not grant his prayer. Why? Did God want King David to know that he cannot always have what he desires? No. Parents desire for betterment for their children. Please be sure you heard that very well, children. Your parents want you to be the best. But children chose their personal preferences, sometimes oppose the desires of their parents. Should parents continue to pray for their children? Yes, of course. That's not a question. We hope that God would grant our parents our prayers. But if God does not grant our prayer wish for our children, God must have a better purpose prepared for us and for them, for our children. Can you readily believe that? Additionally, prayer, when we pray, we also practice our faith in the Lord. We trust that the Lord decides whichever is beneficial to us, that will glorify his name eventually. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, let's read meditatively. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Parents, we are called to minister to our family, first and foremost. If peace and unity prevail in our home, it will reflect and replicate in our church. That's for sure. Learn to rely upon the Lord in everything you do. Learn about that. Learn to depend upon the Lord in your desire, your plans, your activities. In every activity, little or huge activities, just try every moment, if possible, pray, ask the Lord. When driving, when eating, not just eating, many times we pray when we eat. But how many of you pray after you eat? After eating, do you pray? It should be the time of prayer, right? Lord, salamat, napakasarap ng pagkain ko ngayon. I'm not trying to make you hungry. It's already almost lunch. But the Bible says that when you are filled and satisfied, do not forget the Lord. Do not forget the Lord. You say a prayer, not necessarily a group prayer, your personal prayer. Lord, thank you. Masarap yung kinain ko kanina. Pray, why? So that it may fit well. Baka mamaya takbo ka sa washroom. Anyway, discover this, the glorious moment of living within the will of God. Discover the glorious moment of living within the will of God. This is very satisfying experience that translates to eternity. It's not only in here and on earth. Far better that glorious moment living in the will of God is far better than all worldly pleasure combined. Anything that this world offer, glorious moment living within the will of God is much better. Pray for godly wisdom so that you may have godly motives in all your prayers. Shall we pray? Let's stand up and let's pray. Take this moment. For you parents, take this moment to thank God for your children and pray for their betterment. For everyone, pray for increase of faith and godly wisdom and understanding. Shall we do that?